And what I want you to think about is this, is here's a final reason why we ought to be ready to try to win somebody to Jesus, because hell is still burning. Hell is still burning. And, you know, there's a little picture that I found on the internet as far as some of the things that some of the graphic folks use those, and there's no way that's anywhere close to a depiction of what it's really like. But I just want you to see, hey, and realize there is still a fire that is burning in the pits of hell. And I don't understand everything that I read, everything that I find, everything that I know about it. It's difficult to understand. But I do believe what I read. And I believe that it's a place, and people are saying, oh, God's a God of love. He won't send anybody to hell. Let me tell you, friend, my Bible tells me there's coming a day when the books are going to be open, and if your name wasn't found there, the Bible said Jesus will look and say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I mean, I never knew you, and you're put into a place that is, well, hell's in there. It's a lake of fire that burns forever and forever. And folks are still poo-pooing that and saying it's not real, it ain't just a story, it's just a fairy tale. I want to tell you, I believe it's real. Amen. And here's why. Look in your Bible tonight. Look with me, if you will, in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 16. And there is a story here. There's a story. And not a made-up story, not a fable. It's not a parable. If you look through your Bible, in most instances, when Jesus was getting ready to tell a parable or to bring some information about a parable, he would say, that the kingdom of heaven is like, and the writer would say he gave them another parable or he told them this parable. And, you know, and generally in a parable, and a parable is this, it is an earthly story that translates or communicates a heavenly message. In other words, it takes something that is here on earth, and then we're just picking one out of the myriad there are in the Bible. But if you remember, Jesus talks about a sower sowing seed. And later on, his disciples say, we don't understand what that story was about. And he said, well, the seed's the word of God, and the sowers, the people that are out giving it out, and the ground is people's hearts and how they receive it. And, you know, that he explained that. And that was a parable. This right here in Luke 16 is a story, and he gives no indication that it's a parable. He gives no indication. I believe he could have named the rich man, but there was a reason that he does not. There's a reason. But he does name the poor beggar Lazarus, and we know who he is. So this is a real story about real people. Begin reading with me verse number 19 in Luke 16. It said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, rememberest that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for today. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you again for your blessings and for your word. And I pray now, just give us your direction, give us your wisdom, give us help tonight and instruction from your word, and just speak to our hearts and help us to see the realities of a place called hell this evening. We'll give you praise and worship and thanks for everything that you do for us now, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, man, I just want to talk to you a little bit tonight for us to think about all of these things dealing with a place called hell. Dealing with a place called hell. And as I said, hell is still burning. There's really still a literal hell. I was reading some stuff on this, just kind of some background material, and there's a fella that wrote I believe it's a book. It might have been just more or less a large article or something, but whatever he wrote, it was called What Happened to Hell? What Happened to Hell? And he went through and said that they did some studies and some looking at sermons and listening to those things and looking at society and whatever. And they said that in the days during this research, which was back in the, I think, started maybe in the 80s when this fellow was doing this. And as he went back, he began to note the lack of preaching about hell. He said, I mean, you know, you think that there would be preaching about hell with it being such an important topic in the Bible, with it being such a reiterated topic in the Bible, with it being a critical item that you find in your Bible. It looks like there would be much preaching. But he said, you know, we had a hard time finding any sermons about hell. Isn't that amazing? Now, you know, he goes on to say, when you research the Bible, again, you see that Jesus was the most prolific preacher in the Bible about hell. Nobody preached any more about hell than Jesus did. All the Old Testament prophets mentioned it, and some of the old saints of God in olden days mentioned it, and certainly in the early church ages it was mentioned and it was preached. But I'm telling you, nobody in your Bible said any more about hell than Jesus himself. As a matter of fact, Jesus talked more and preached more and illustrated and talked more about hell than he did heaven. And we certainly love to hear about heaven. We love to sing songs about heaven. We love to think about going to heaven. But we've lost our interest in the realization that people are dying and going to hell. Amen? And I'm just telling you, hey, it's a scary thing. It's scary to me. And you think, well, surely, preacher, somebody's saying something. When's the last time you heard me talk about it? When's the last time you heard some other preacher? I mean, I'm telling you, I'm around preachers all the time and hear preaching and look at things and listen to other churches and what have you. And there's very little preaching about hell going on. But still, the reality of hell is there today. So let's just look at it, and you see, first thing that I want to talk to us about, first of all, is what's so bad about hell? As I say, we seem to have softened our stance and our thinking and our vocalizing about hell. I mean, today, as I say, you just don't see too much about it, so it's like we've softened up, so it must not be too bad a place, right? Oh, let me tell you, it's still the place that nobody wants to go. I can remember, and this has been years ago, I can't remember how many years ago, but I remember going to a church one night, and I don't know what happened. Brother Dwayne Moore got up to preach, and he read some scriptures out of the Old Testament. I believe it was in the book of Proverbs. And as he got into it, the message just kind of left where he was actually intending and what he thought he was going to preach. And he began to preach about hell. And when he got through, I talked to him and he said, you know, I just kind of just you got to winging it and preaching it and just it just came and God gave it to me. He said, I don't even have a title for that message. I said, I do. I was sitting over here trying to outline what you were saying and trying to write this down. I said, let me tell you, a good message, or a good title for it is, Hell, You Don't Want to Go There. You don't want to go there. Brother, can I tell you, it's still the same cry today. You need to tell people, I don't care what they say. I don't care how much light they make of it. I don't care how little they want to think about it. Brother, it's still a place called hell, and people don't want to go there. Amen. They don't want to go there. Oh, they may laugh and joke and think it's some kind of big funny thing and all of that. But, brother, I'm telling you, they still don't want to go there. Why? Well, you say, what's so bad about hell? First of all, let me tell you, I believe that hell is an actual, literal, fiery place. Hell's on fire, buddy. The Bible says here that this Lazarus and this rich man, they're compared. And Lazarus wakes up in the bosom of Abraham comforted. And the rich man's in hell. He's in torment. He's in flames. He's on fire. And he's not going to die and get out of it. Amen? Jesus talks about it over in Mark chapter number 9. And he mentions it. Maybe we'll just flip over, if you will, Mark chapter number 9 and listen to what Jesus has to say about the subject of hell further. Now, this is still Jesus. And if you will, look there in verse number 41. He says, for whosoever will give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. But and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believeth in me, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than to have two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. For every one that shall be salted with fire and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Listen, let me tell you, Jesus emphasizes the fact that, brother, you don't want to go to hell. You'd be better off to cut your hand off, your arm off. You'd be better to pull your eye out, cut your foot off, whatever. If there's something that's preventing you from entering into the life eternal in the Lord, hey, you're better off without it, because if you don't, you're headed for a place called hell. Amen? And he said, look, hell, what is that? Well, he said, it's a place where the fire's never quenched. I mean, and as I say, people don't like to hear that. They don't like to think. They say, oh, you're trying to scare somebody. Brother, I'm not trying to scare you. God's trying to scare you. He's trying to get our attention to realize the fact that people are going to die and go to hell. And hell is a terrible place. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. It's a fiery place. But not only that, it's a fearful place. I mean, you think about this rich man. Here he is. In his life, he probably commanded many things, demanded many things, influenced many things, sat around and was waited on and taken care of and all, you know, so on and so forth. But all of a sudden, here he is. He winds up in hell. And can I tell you, he said he is tormented. Can you see that? I mean, he's tormented. He lifts up his eyes in hell, and it said, being in torments. Verse number 23. And then if you look on down, Lazarus is Abraham says, son, remember thy lifetime, thou receivest thy good thing, and likewise Lazarus' evil thing. Now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. He's in a place of torment. It's a fiery place, but it's a fearful place. I'll tell you some things I think about hell that, I can't absolutely prove them, but I do believe that hell is a horrible place, and I believe one of the things that's so scary about hell is it's a place of separation. I believe God puts people in some places where they're separated from everybody else. Do you know the worst thing in this world for people is to be alone, to be separated, to be placed out by yourself? Hey, brother, that's why, in the jail, they put people in solitary confinement, because it wrecks your mind. It does things to you. It terrifies you. It shatters you. It breaks you down. Brother, one of these days folks are going to be separated, and they're not going to have buddies in hell. They're not going to have friends. There's not going to be family. Hey, it's going to be hell forever, separated and alone. Amen? That's a fearful place. It ought to shake us to think that people are going to this fearful place. They're going to a place that is fiery. They're going to a place that is fearful, and they're going to a place where they'll be forever. Hell is a forever place. Oh, there's some big rigmarole going around now, and has been probably for the last several years, where there's some preachers that got up and said, well, God's going to send people to hell, but they won't stay there. They'll go for a while. They'll be punished, but they'll get out. Honey, they're wrong. Don't you believe that garbage? It's not in your Bible. There's no preaching. There's nothing to it. Hey, hell is a forever place. When people go to hell, they go to hell forever. I mean, they're separated. You remember, we were talking to a guy today about that old song. Some of you probably remember. Sorry, I never knew you. You ever heard that old song? Sorry, I never knew you. And it's a song about a guy having a dream about, his life and how that he comes down to the end of his life and how that he's separated from his family. And he said that it's kind of like he can stand there and he can see them, and his kids are singing this song, Daddy, that he's sent into hell. And the kids are singing, Daddy, we're sorry. We can't go with you. We'll be separated from you forevermore. Sorry, we can't go with you, and you won't be our daddy anymore. Amen? Boy, isn't that heartbreaking? Isn't that terrible? Isn't that? But I'm telling you, hell is a forever place. You're not going to go stay a while. You're not going to go down there and get all the bad burn out of you. You're not going to go down there and burn up and be gone and never thought of again. Hell is a place of eternal punishment. I mean, hell is a place, as I said, you don't want to go there. Let me tell you, if you're watching here on Facebook, you don't want to go to this place called hell. It's a fiery place. It's a fearful place. It's a forever place. Boy, can I tell you something? Hey, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in this place called hell. Let's look at that just for a minute. What's going on down in hell today? Well, can I tell you the same thing that's going on here with this rich man in this story? Some of those same things are going on in hell today. What's going on in hell today? First of all, let me tell you, there's remembrances that are going on in hell. You see what the Bible says? Here's old rich man. He looks up and he sees Abraham. At this time, hell and the place of torment is in one section, and the place of comfort, as it is called here, Abraham's bosom, is in a separate area, but they're close to each other. This is a time before Jesus' death and before his burial and resurrection, and he goes and takes those saints and he takes them home to be with him in glory. But during this, here's this place that's called paradise. And here is the Lazarus, the old beggar, laying there, but he's comforted in the bosom of Abraham. And can I tell you, don't tell you something else that makes hell hell? He could see them and their comfort. He could see them in their peace. He could see them in their contentment. And he's in a place of torment. And do you see what Abraham said to him? He said, look, would you just send Lazarus? Let him dip his finger in water and just drop it on my tongue because I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember. Can I tell you, it's a place, a lot of folks say, oh, well, we get to hell, we won't remember that. Yes, you will. I believe you'll remember every preacher that preached, every Christian that testified, every person that tried to tell you about Jesus. Everybody tried to tell you, don't go to that horrible place. I ain't letting no preacher tell me what I got to do. Hey, friend, it ain't me telling you. It's the Bible trying to warn you. It's the good Holy Spirit trying to woo you. It's the good blood of Jesus that will cleanse you from your sin. Hey, it's nothing just about me or upon me or through me or by any other Christian. Brother, it is the precious word of God that says he'll get you out of that place. Amen? But I'm telling you, I believe folks in hell remember. I believe they can remember that last church service where they said, I don't need this. It's 12 o'clock. Let's get out of here. I don't want them people bothering me no more. I don't want them telling me what I got to do. I don't want nobody telling me I'm a sinner. I hadn't done anything wrong. I'm as good as anybody. Brother, standing in the middle of hell, it'll be just like this with Abraham saying, don't you remember? You during your lifetime, look what he said to him. He said, you received your good things. Remember that in thy lifetime, thy lifetime receivest thy good things. You remember that? I believe he does. I believe he remembers the days that he ate just grandly and lived luxuriously and had everything. I believe he can remember. But you know what? Right then he'd give it all for one more day back on the other, just a few minutes on the other side to get things right with God. And I believe there's folks in hell. They'd heard the preaching. They'd heard the pleas. They'd heard the cries. They'd heard their mamas pray. They'd heard their grandma and grandpa call them and ask them to come. But they said no. And through all eternity, that's running over in their minds. Isn't that a horrible thing to think of? To have that. But I'm telling you, hell is a place of remembrance. I believe it's like they wish they could scrape all that up. And buddy, I'll tell you, hey, there's a lot of folks in hell, as I say, with a lot of remembrance. But second of all, I believe there's a lot of folks in hell. And you know what else is there? Regrets. Oh, I wished I had have. I should have. Only if I would have listened to those folks. Only if I'd gone back to church one more time. Oh, God, if only I had one more day to live and get things right with you. Regret after regret after regret. I don't know if y'all, probably a lot of y'all like me. I can remember being a teenage boy and the Holy Ghost got after me. Now, I mean, I'm telling you. I got the old-time conviction on my life. Amen. I mean, the hound dog from heaven was on my trail. He's a barking and a yapping, and he is after me. And I mean, I remember going to bed. I remember going to bed, and I think, oh, God, please don't let me die tonight. If I do, I know I'm headed for hell. And I mean, honestly, sincerely, I felt that way. And I'd think, boy, if you'd just give me another day. Can I tell you, God was gracious, and he gave me other days. He allowed me to come to a day when I came to know him as a 17-year-old. Man, I come to know the Lord at that time. And he was gracious to me. But can I tell you, there's a lot of folks that's in hell right now, and they're living those regrets. Oh, why didn't I listen? Oh, why didn't I get under that conviction and come to an old-fashioned altar and pray and get right with God? Oh, I regret the way I lived my life. I regret saying no. I regret the resisting of the Holy Spirit's urges. I regret all of those things that have come in my life. And you know what? They've got all eternity to live with their regrets. And they'll be there saying, I shoulda, I coulda, and if only I woulda. I mean, they'll be doing that because it's the regret that they have. Listen, here's this rich man, and you know, man, he's looking for anything. I mean, he's looking for any kind of help. Isn't it amazing? And listen, I think you can even see this in a little bit of this in this picture. It says in verse 23, he's in hell, and he lifts up his eyes, being in torments, and he sees Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Let me tell you something. When he was alive, it appears that he knew who Lazarus was. Because he recognized him. He said, there's Lazarus. He knew who Lazarus was. And he cried and he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." Listen how ridiculous this sounds on the flip side now. "And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in his flame." How many times did he turn his nose up? How many times did he turn his eyes away? How many times did he go, psh, on Lazarus through Lazarus' poor life where he begged for the Bible said all he wanted was the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. My idea is this, from just reading this, he knew who Lazarus was, and he had been unmerciful to Lazarus in this life. There was no mercy. If there had been mercy from, I believe we'd been told that. But now, you know what he's doing? He's begging for mercy. Can I tell you, folks in hell are regretting the fact that the way they treated others, the way they put money over the importance of anything, especially their soul and their relationship with God. Hey, there's folks in there right now, they're regretting every bit of that. And I believe this rich man is like, "Oh, no, look what I've done. And now I'm begging for mercy. Just send Lazarus." And Abraham said, "Uh-uh. You didn't have any mercy on him while he was alive and begged and needed help. And now look where you are." And I'm not saying that it's, you know, kind of thing. But I'm just saying, brother, the tables have turned and look where the rich man is. Begging and crying and pleading for mercy. And while he's alive, he wouldn't even give the crumbs. That's all Lazarus. Lazarus didn't say, "Give me the best. Give me a big, you know, piece of meat and all the food." He said, I'll just take the crumb. Nope, no mercy. No mercy. And now he's begging. Can you imagine how horrible that hell must be if you could take the tip of your finger and dip it in water and get a little tiny drop on the edge of your finger, if you could put that on the tongue of somebody in hell, and that would be a relief. How agonizing, how horrible, how much pain and torment must those folks be in if that much water would offer some help. Amen? But Abraham says, "Son, you need to remember." And I tell you, this rich man is living in regret. He's living in regret. But not only that, do you see this? There's a lot of requests in hell today. There's a lot of requests. There's folks screaming, "Get me out of here. I don't deserve this. I was a good man. I was a good father. I was a good provider." Yes, but you forgot about God. You turned away from the very thing that would have allowed you to stay out of this place. And boy, can I tell you, hey, there's a lot of folks today that have some requests. You see this man? I mean, Abraham said, "There's no hope for you. There's nothing. Those that would come from here where we are over to you, they can't. And those that would come from where you are over here, they can't. There's a great gulf fixed between the two of us. And nobody can pass." And God made it that way. God made it that way. It wasn't Abraham's doing. It wasn't, you know, somebody. A lot of folks say, "Oh, well, the devil's down there in hell and he's doing." The devil's not in hell yet, y'all. Let me just tell you, he's not even there. He's not there. Amen. He's out here. He's the prince and the power of these airs. Amen. So don't you get that idea, "Oh, the devil's down there in hell and he's tormenting people and he's not doing a thing. He's up here trying to drag some more down. Amen. But what I'm telling you is those folks there are begging and pleading and making requests. You hear what this fellow said? Then he said, this is the rich man, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren." Could you imagine? He had five brothers. Five brothers. They probably had some good times together. They went out and they drank and they partied and they had a big time and they blew their money and they laughed at people like Lazarus and they didn't have time for God. They didn't have time for anything dealing with spiritual matter. And they just went out and he said, "Would you send somebody back and warn my brothers? I don't want them to come to this horrible, horrible place." Wasn't that something that ought to catch your attention? I don't want them to come here. Oh, would that not be a comfort to you, rich man, to have your brother? I don't want them here. I don't want to see them. Please send somebody to warn them. Don't come here. What a request. I'll tell you, there's tons. There's people in hell right now saying, can I hear one more verse of Just As I Am? Can I hear an old-fashioned preacher just preach his lungs out and beg me to come to an altar? I'll go, I'll go, I'll go. That's the way folks are in hell right now. Oh, Lord, would you give me one more chance? They're crying. Lord, please send somebody to get me out of this torment. Somebody, can I tell you, the atheists will lift their heads up in hell, and they'll believe in God then. And I say that. I'm not trying to be boastful or proud or arrogant or any. I'm just telling you, brother, they'll believe in God then. Their thinking will absolutely have been changed. They're believing in God now. And listen, I can remember when I lived in Atlanta, our pastor there was talking about, he worked a job and pastored the church, and we just had a small church. And he said that somebody had called him when he was on his job one day and told him about a man that had been involved in a car accident. And he knew him. He knew the man. And they said, would you go by and visit him in the hospital? He's in pretty bad shape. And he said, you know, I said, yeah, I'll go. And he said, you know, things came up and I had to do this and I was busy with that. And he said, well, finally in a day or two, I got around and I went to the hospital. And he said, when I got there, some of his family met me out in the room and they looked at me and said, preacher, he's gone. He said, and as far as I knew, that man was not right with God. And I think he went on to ask some of them, had anybody talked with him, anybody been in to ask him about his salvation? And they said, no. He said, I got in my car, and I began to drive home. He said, and tears began to fill my eyes. He said, because all I could see in my windshield was that man screaming out in the horrors of hell. Screaming out saying, why, oh, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you come sooner before I left here and told me about Jesus? And he said, you know, I still go home some days and I'll see his face in my mirror, in my windshield. He said, I can still hear those cries. I can still see that face. He said, and it still hurts my heart. Why? Because hell is a real place. I mean, it's a real place. And there's people down there, as I say, they've got regrets, they've got requests, they've got pleadings and cryings and wantings. And brother, hey, they're there. They are there for eternity. That's a pretty solemn and somber message. Amen? I mean, this ain't no shouting message. This ain't no running and hooping and hollering. But I can tell you, it's the truth out of the Word of God, isn't it? I mean, look, what's going on in hell? Well, I'll tell you. As I said, he's wanting somebody to pray. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father. I'm ready to pray now. He said, send somebody. Do you know what's not going on in hell? There's no parties in hell. I've seen big old burly men stand up and some dear preacher man try to tell them about their lives and try to get them to God. And they'd say, oh, preacher, we're going to have a party when we get to hell. Look at each other and say, I'll see you in hell. You don't want that. Oh, how dare someone encourage another to die in a state they're in. But yet they do it. Can I tell you, there's no parties in hell. There ain't no partying. Hey, this fellow said, don't let my brothers come here. This is not a reunion place. This is not a place. Oh, please don't let them come here. There's no parties in hell. There's no playing. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, if you're going to die and go to hell, you better go out and play with every baby that you can run into. You better see them smile. You better play with them. You better sit and rock them all you can. Because when you get to hell, there'll be no more. You won't see a baby. You won't hear a giggle. You won't hear a laugh. You won't have a cuddle. Brother, it's going to be a place where there will be none of that. Hell's not a playing place. Hell's a place of torment, what the Bible says right here. Hell's a place of terrors. Hell's a place that's terrifying. And buddy, if you want to see something like a rose or a beautiful flower, you better go smell them now, because there's none in hell. You won't see a beautiful rose. You won't see a beautiful flower of any kind. You won't see a pretty sunset. You won't see a gorgeous sunrise. You won't see the stars in the sky. It's going to be separated from you for eternity. So if you plan on any of that being in hell, you better wake up and smell it and realize it ain't happening. Hell's a horrible place. Oh, listen. And somebody say, well, all you preacher types, y'all just, as I said, they say you're trying to scare somebody. I'm glad somebody scared me one day. They told me about hell when I was a boy, and I heard some of them old leather-lung, old backwood preachers stand up, and they'd tell us about how hot hell was, how rotten that we were, and how we was had. But I'm glad they told me, amen. Because you know why? I don't want to go there. Brother Logan, he didn't know. I didn't say anything to him, but man could have picked any better song. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going. But you know what? There are a lot of people that are. There are a lot of people that are. And it ought to scare us. There's no playing. Can I tell you? There's no pity in hell. Nobody in hell is going to pity. The devil, when he gets thrown in there, hey, he's not going to pity anybody. He's not playing games. He's not, brother, he's going to be doomed just like everybody else forever when God, off of the great white throne, casts death and hell and Satan himself. I mean, everything gets cast into that lake of fire. And it's forever and forever. The smoke of their torment ascendeth forever and ever, the Bible tells us. Brother, it's screaming, it's weeping, it's gnashing of teeth, it's wailing, it's crying. It's horrible. And I'm telling you, you don't want to go there, and you don't want nobody you know to go there. This dear old fellow said, hey, send somebody back for my brothers. Please don't let them come to this place. Please don't. There's no people in hell that can help you. Once you get there, there's nobody in hell that can help you. Well, preacher, what can I do to warn others not to go? Let me just tell you some simple things that we can do. First of all, you and I need to pray for the lost. We need to pray. I mean, this is just simple stuff. We need to pray. We need to warn them. We need to warn. If somebody knew, and listen, you do that now. If something's going on, you see, you sit watching television, they say, there's a tornado that's headed for Chickamauga. How many of you get on the phone? Get out your phone, start texting your loved ones or calling them and say, hey, they say there's a storm coming. You better get ready. You better get in your safe spot. You better get ready because this thing's headed your way. Hey, can I tell you? Hell's headed their way. You better warn them. You better warn them. And let me tell you, one other thing's pretty simple. We need to weep over the long. When's the last time that it broke your heart that somebody died and went to hell? I tell you, one of the hardest things, Sister Connie, being able to preach at Brother LaVon's funeral, that's not the most pleasant thing that I've ever done, I'll be honest with you. But you know what? Somebody asked me, you know, people say, well, how did the funeral go? Man, hey, hallelujah. I knew where he was going. I mean, can I tell you, those things are pretty easy. But I've been in some, and I didn't know what to say. I mean, I knew what the truth was by how they lived their lives, how there was no profession of any kind of faith, no time when they'd been in church or in a vacation Bible school or Sunday school or anything where they'd ever announced that they'd gotten saved or given their life to Jesus. Nobody. I mean, nothing. Nothing. What do you do? I can remember a long time ago when I was a boy, when my uncle that was a preacher, we went to a funeral, and he said, all I can tell you about this man is that he's in the hands of a just God. brother, that's about all you can say. I mean, that's it. I can't preach. People say, well, you need to preach them into heaven. No, I can't do that. Amen. I can't. I mean, that's beyond my capacity, my ability, and my knowledge. But I'm telling you, they're in the hands of a righteous God who judges all of us. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, what can we do? We can do this. Let me just tell you a few more things about hell. I mean, we want to warn people. We want to tell people. But let me tell you, for some people, they think something about hell. They think it's funny. Hell, let me tell you, hell is not just a byword. You walk around in the public today, and there's people that just throw that around. And they say, oh, hell. Or as I say, they look at somebody and say, you just go to hell. Or whatever. It's just a byword to them. But can I tell you, hell's not a byword. It's not something to be talked about, thrown around, or just used very lightly as people do. That's not what hell is. Hell's not a funny punchline to a joke. That's not what hell is. Hell is not a place that's anywhere on the face of this earth. You ever heard people say, oh, I'm going through a living hell? No, you're not. You may have a rough time, and it may be hard. You may be having, you know, tough things go on. But, brother, it ain't nothing to compare with what hell's going to be. Hell is not just a state of mind for certain people. People say, oh, they're having, you know, they're just living in that mental state of a literal. No, they ain't living that mental state of a literal hell. Brother, one of these days, they might lift up their eyes being there. And I feel sorry for anybody that has any kind of mental issues and hurt and all. I understand that. But I'm saying it's nothing to compare with the realities of what we're reading right here. Hell's a real place. Hell is real, an eternal in place for all of those who do not have Jesus Christ as their Savior. My Bible tells me over in the book of Revelation, chapter number 20, I believe it is, that everybody's going to stand, or the dead are going to be called up. They're going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment one day. And the books are going to be opened. And it said, whosoever's name is not found in the book of life, God is going to cast them out into that lake of fire for all eternity. And it may be, and I'm sure it will be for some of us, it could be our loved ones. It could even be our family. And it doesn't matter who you are and, you know, what you got and what, hey, they could still be cast into hell with us standing there. Isn't that hard to think of? Isn't it sad to think of? It's a terrible thing. Brother, let me tell you, John Phillips, great Christian writer, passed on, going to be with the Lord, he said, let me just tell you one thing. Hell is for real. In hell, when the rich man got to hell, guess what? He didn't want to party. He didn't want to play. He didn't receive any pity. He didn't have anybody to help him. But he did want to plead for his lost brothers, and he did want to pray all at the wrong time, wasn't it? Hey, buddy, that's what hell is. It's tough. It's tough. And as I say, I know this ain't no shouting message. It gets awful quiet when you preach about hell. Brother, can I tell you, it gets awful real. Can I tell you, it gets real with me. I understand it. And I've done the same thing. I can remember, it's been several years ago, Brother Jenkins' grandson come to church with him quite a bit. And one Sunday after church, he came up to me and he said, Brother Steve, can you go see a friend of mine that's in the hospital? And I said, sure, what's his name? And he began to tell me his name. And I said, well, what's going on? He said, well, he's on a ventilator. And I said, oh. I said, well, is he conscious? He said, well, I don't know. He said, he can't talk. he's immobilized. He's just kind of laying there. And I said, well, you know, what got him there? Now, we're talking about somebody who's about 22 years old. 22 years old. He's laying there. And he said, well, he has literally drunk himself to death. 22 years old. He said he'd been drinking. He said, while we were teenagers, and even before I knew him, he said, this boy picked up beer at home. His parents drank. And he started drinking beer, and he moved on into the hard liquor. And he said, and he drinks. He said that when I was around him, he said, man, he'd drink some of that hard stuff. He said, I mean, a fifth of it at a time wasn't nothing. He said he'd drink every day and sometimes all day. He said, and he's just absolutely ruined his liver. And he's in the hospital. He said, and I don't think he's saved. Would you go talk to him? I went up to the hospital, went into the ICU area. They let me in. He's laying there with all of the ventilator, all of the nasal cannula, the pump for his stomach, the nose, you know, line coming out of his nose for that. He got all kinds of IV. I mean, he just all, everything's covered. And I grabbed him by the hand, those old swollen, puffed up hands, and I began to talk to him. I said, called his name, and I said, now, if you can hear me, I said, would you just try to squeeze my hand or wiggle your finger or whatever you could do? And finally, after a little bit of coaxing, I talked to him. And I began to tell him that Jesus still loved him. I said, I know your life is a mess right now. And frankly, you ain't going to be here very long, young man. And if you can, you need to get some things straightened out with God. And can I tell you very frankly, I tried to talk to him. I tried to read if he was squeezing or, you know, doing his fingers or whatever he's doing. And I can't tell you to this day if he did understand, if he prayed. I can't tell you nothing. But you know what? I never thought I'd see somebody 22 years old laying there in that kind of shape. I have no idea. I'm praying. And I prayed over him. I prayed with him. I prayed to him. I told him, you know, to pray. I mean, I did everything I could think of doing. And I left that room, I'll tell you, very defeated because I just didn't know. And later on the next day, he's gone. Oh, that's sad. I mean, 22 years old, and his life was gone. He was in eternity. And all I could tell you was he's in the hands of a just and righteous God. And God knows what went on in his heart. I don't. I wished I could tell you, oh, he did that. I don't know. I have no idea. But I can tell you, it sobered me up to the realities of it didn't matter how old you was or how young you was, you could still die and go to hell without Jesus. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something tonight.